that you are mindful of him. O Lord our God, the majesty and glory of your name transcends and glory of your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
is an amazing and beautiful place. The Apostle Paul said that there is no excuse for not believing in God. Just look around you, he says. God is found in this spectacular universe, just as the psalmist wrote. And we have been charged with caring for it. When religion is authentic and truly at its best, it will bring out the beauty in all things. There will never be ugly things if religion has its true way. We exist to enhance and fulfill the potential found in creation. Our work, I heard this week by a speaker, is not to fix the world. Our work is to love the world. The writer of Psalm 8, this beautiful psalm, in a wonderfully poetic fashion declares, "Oh, Lord, you are amazing, and so is creation. And when I look at all of the amazing, wonderful things that you have made, and human beings who are almost divine, I am blown away." The writer is in awe, and we should be too. What a grand and awesome universe this is. The challenge for us then becomes, how will we respond to this amazing creation? Hopefully it will be by tending to the beauty we find in the world and in every created being, and what we are capable of doing. Just look around you. We are amazingly colorful, creative human beings. My favorite definition of God these days is God as pure creative potential. God is pure creative potential, found in every living thing, waiting to be released and expressed. The universe exists to reveal God. Beauty found in creation is integral to who God is. The church, therefore, as an extension of God's beauty and creativity, will promote it and bring them out in the world. A song of faith, which is our latest faith statement to be added to the United Church's faith statements, describes God and creation this way. The writers say, God is creative and self-giving, generously moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in God. Our first response to God's providence is gratitude. We sing thanksgiving. Finding ourselves in a world of beauty and mystery, of living things, diverse and interdependent, of complex patterns of growth and evolution, of subatomic particles and cosmic swirls, we sing of God the Creator, the Maker and Source of all that is. Each part of creation reveals unique aspects of God the Creator, who is both in creation and beyond it. All parts of creation, animate and inanimate, are related. All creation is good. We sing of the Creator who made humans to live and move and have their being, who are grounded in God. Yesterday, as we celebrated Ruby's life, we also acknowledged that it was the actual day of the 92nd anniversary of the founding of the United Church of Canada. Yesterday was. Ruby was born the same year. In the years leading up to June 10th, 1925, which was the inaugural day of the United Church of Canada, the founding churches of Methodism, Presbyterianism, and Congregationalism negotiated the terms of union in ways that they believed would enhance the work of Christianity in Canada and in the world. Joining at the same time was the small General Council of Union Churches in the West, a small group of churches that got together and brought together the resources and believing that the United Church was going to come into being, came together and united before that. Thus, we can celebrate in Okotoks United Church, the United Church of Okotoks, 100 years of being, even though the church is only 92 years because it was one of those union churches first. They, the founders of the church, desired a way forward that would bring God to all peoples in Canada. Even the name, it's not United Church of Canada, it's the United Church of Canada. That article was purposeful. It was deliberate, as they anticipated that there would only be one Christian church in Canada, and it would be the United Church of Canada. One that would unite and be uniting, bringing all Christians together under one God and one church in Canada. It was to be the first church of this kind in the entire world. Thus, they came together with the motto, Ut omnes unum sint, in Latin, meaning that all may be one. It was the first union of churches in the world to cross historical denominational lines, and it received international acclaim at that time. It was an admirable impulse to unite all churches in Canada, but its realization was not to be, as we human beings are a little fickle and are prone to preferring what we are comfortable with. And we love variety, which is good. God's creation is infinitely unique and diverse, and so is the church. Many established denominations declined the invitation to unite, though we still continue to talk with them and continue to see the church as a unitive force in the world, expressing God's love and unconditional acceptance of all to all people as best we can. And there were some denominations that joined later. In 1930, the Synod of the Wesleyan Methodist Church of Bermuda became part of the United Church of Canada's Maritime Conference. So the only other place in the world that we have the United Church of Canada is in Bermuda. I said to DeWitt, I should apply there. Later on, the Evangelical United Brethren Church became part of the United Church of Canada in 1968. And in addition, various individual congregations who were independent from other Christian communions have become a part of the church over the years. While the intentions at that time seemed admirable for their day, in hindsight, not all was good or beneficial for some people or for creation. Part of the impulse to join together was to combine resources so the church could minister to the Aboriginal peoples of Western Canada. We now know that the damage done to First Nations and to some who lived unconventional lifestyles have left some dark blots on our history. Yet throughout the years, the church has sought to be introspective and honest and has struggled to be aware of its faults and weaknesses and make amends and reparation where it could, spending millions of dollars to try to improve conditions for those who have need of healing and hope. We've taken steps that have put us out of sync with other expressions of Christianity in our country and in the world, like ordaining women very early on in the history of our church, and exploring progressive expressions of theology. We have carried out conversations on human sexuality that eventually allowed us to affirm the ordination of gay and lesbian candidates for ministry, and we have advocated in this church for same-sex marriage. We have been at the forefront of apologizing for our treatment of First Nations people in the residential schools, and we have engaged as best we can in healing the rift between our peoples. We have advocated for environmental responsibility and participated in truth and reconciliation initiatives. One of the things that is true of the United Church is that we see the church as a living, evolving entity, ever-changing and constantly responding to needs around us in life-giving ways. A church that is not changing is not responding to a living God or the world as it exists today. As the world becomes more and more complex and challenging, we are tasked with finding new creative ways to respond to the world, to bring the best out in the world, the beauty of people and creation. And as the speed of communication and abundance of information explodes, we are tasked with finding ways to respond more quickly and more efficiently to the needs and challenges that come our way. The church in this ever-changing world must change in response, though we are often slow to do so. The good news of Jesus Christ is the same today as it always has been. Yet it needs to be heard in fresh and insightful ways, ways that people can hear and respond to. People need to know what I told you this morning. People are hungry to hear that they are loved, they are forgiven, and they are free. We have to find ways to do this with the latest resources we have and in ways that can be heard by those outside of the church. The message has to be repackaged for new generations. People are as deeply spiritual as they ever have been. People still need hope. It is the church's responsibility to go out into the world and share that love and hope. It is not people's responsibility to come into the church. And there is an urgency about our message. People are dying to hear this message. People are struggling to find beauty, forgiveness, belonging, and love, a sense of their own value and purpose. As the world grows more and more complex, I see more people experiencing anxiety. We long to ground ourselves in something that can help us navigate the complexity of the world today, to make healthy life choices. God, I believe, is still the ground of our being. And the church can be the place that helps people to navigate their lives. We are going through a transition right now in the United Church, and we must. It's time. This is not the church of our grandparents. This is not the church even of our parents. In the 50s and 60s, it was a given that most people were Christians and would go to church. We didn't worry about young people in our church. We didn't worry about Sunday school. You look on the cradle roll, they used to call it, in the church, where hundreds of children were in the Sunday school. We didn't worry about our buildings or caring for our buildings. At that time, we were building more buildings and developing congregations. We just assumed at that time that Canada was a Christian nation and would continue to be a Christian nation. It is, as you may have noticed, no longer the case. It's not a bad thing, it's just reality. We know that we are struggling and that churches are closing. This morning, Marie Wedderburn was at DeWinton and she was leaving immediately to go to Cremona to disband the congregation and decommission the building. It was that close to us this morning. And our hearts break every time we see the grieving of those congregations that leave their building and disband their congregations. We cannot keep going the way we are with churches, big and small, experiencing declining membership and deficit budgets being passed in congregations across this country annually. I was at Presbytery this week and just listening to some of the reports and hearing that many churches are running on lines of credit and dipping into resources that are being depleted very quickly. Once large congregational reserves are being depleted and people are not leaving their money to the church the way they used to. People in general are not loyal to the church institution, which doesn't mean they are not loyal to God. The world has changed, and the church must change as well. It is our opportunity to do a life review. Just as Candace was speaking about, we need to learn from the past, we need to look to the past, but we need to move to the future to determine what we need to change and to become. We now find ourselves looking to the future and moving toward reordering ourselves, toward new life, toward new possibilities. We're no longer as sure of ourselves, of who we are, how to restructure ourselves, or who we will become. It is an uncomfortable place to be, but not a bad place to be. We all do it in our own lives, where there comes a point in our lives where we need to look deeply and we need to say, who are we and where are we going? What are we doing with the rest of our lives? That's what we're doing in the United Church of Canada. This is life. We cannot rely on the church of the past. We want to be the church for tomorrow, effective and responsive to needs today and into the future. It's not an exaggeration, I believe, to say that lives are depending on it. People need to know that they matter to God. Broken and hurting souls need good news to live abundant and meaningful lives. I believe we have good news. This past year, the whole United Church, across Canada and in Bermuda, congregations and presbyteries have been deliberating and voting on a number of proposals, we call them remits, that will change the denomination and will hopefully make it more streamlined and responsive to the challenges faced by the church today. The combined boards of this congregation and DeWinton got together in May, passing all but one of the remits, and that one was related to streams of ministry. I'm proud of the work that this congregation and DeWinton has done on behalf of the two communities. They asked relevant and wise questions and voted with their conscience on your behalf. If passed by the church next summer, these changes would come into effect in 2019 and change the structure of the church, how we fund the work of the church, how we see membership and ministry in the church, and how we will do the work of the church. They are not going to solve all of the challenges that we still face. There is much work to be done. But if we truly believe in resurrection, if if we truly believe in resurrection. I heard John Pentland say this week, we say we are a resurrection church, but are we really? Do we believe that if something dies, something new life can come out of it? Do we trust that? If we truly believe in a resurrection, we believe that new life can come out of death, and letting go of some things will give new opportunities and an opportunity for something exciting to emerge. We continue to search for ways and new ways to proclaim the good news that the living God is still at work in the world to reconcile and make new. This beautiful, magnificent world that God created is still amazing and awe-inspiring. The church, as an instrument of God, proclaims the value of all creation and all created things. We must embrace the possibility of transformation and new life, prepared to let go of what no longer serves God or the church, allowing that God does and will do new things if we can let go. Lives are depending on it. I love the United Church. I have dedicated much of my life to working in it. But I know that it has to change to become what it needs to be. I read a quote this week by Maxine Hong Kingston. She says, "In a time of destruction, create something." We are in the process. We trust that God is doing a new thing, and we will remain faithful and live in anticipation, so that we can proclaim with the psalmist today, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Amen. As we come to this table today, we come with open hearts, open